Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Ave Maria Radio presents Power from the Pews, a show spotlighting the dynamic activities of committed Catholic laity whose ministries are making a real difference in their parishes and society. And now, here's your host, Peggy Stanton.
Hello, everyone. On this fourth day of Christmas, and we note here that Christmas in the Christian tradition is to be celebrated for 12 days. Much, much too big an event to be confined to one day. So here on Power from the Pews, we are doing just that, bringing you the magnificent voice of soprano Angela Tice. Born and bred in the Detroit, Michigan area, but her great talent has taken her all over the world, including Austria and Italy. Most recently, she made her solo debut in New York City at the fabled Carnegie Hall, where she drew rave reviews. Angela has received numerous grants and awards and sung in such operas as Figaro, Carmen, Aida, Hansel and Gretel, Little Women, and more, many more. She was the soprano in residence at the Michigan Opera Theater, and a graduate of Notre Dame University, Angela graciously lends her talent to many religious events in her hometown area of Detroit. Her rendition of Ave Maria, which you will hear at the close of this program, raises holy goosebumps, to quote my friend Lori Peck. If I give you Angela's whole resume, we will have no time to hear the wonderful songs that we're going to hear her sing. We have three songs you will hear throughout the program. Angela, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let's do a prayer again, shall we? Are you good at praying?
I'd like to call upon the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I can't do it alone.
Well, we called him before we got on the air, everyone, and we are calling on him again because we're going to insert songs throughout the show, and we hope we do it right. Right?
Yes.
Angela, what age did you discover that you had such a voice? Were you very young when you realized it?
When I was young, singing was part of my family's traditions, especially on Christmas Eve. All of the cousins would gather, and we would be expected to perform songs for our uncles and aunts, extended family. And so we sang excerpts from The Sound of Music. Mm. We always close with
favorite.
So Long, Farewell, Auf Wiedersehen,
yes.
And other Christmas songs. So it was just part of my upbringing. I think in second grade I had my first solo.
Wow.
And it was Stay Awake, Be Ready. You do not know the hour when the Lord is coming. Stay awake, be ready. The Lord is coming soon. I'll never forget it. So it was a sacred piece, right? I went to Catholic school, so that was my first solo. And from then on, I just continued to sing in school and church, and it all flooded from there.
At that age, as you were singing these solos, did you then, at that very young age, say to yourself, this is what I want to do the rest of my life?
No, that was just a hobby. It was something that was fun. I wanted to pursue a career maybe in fashion design or be an art teacher.
Really?
In fourth grade, I entered.
Are you an artist? I mean, as well as a musical artist.
I was, and I really had to choose. I had to choose one or the other. In fourth grade, I entered a speech contest. It was sponsored by McDonald's. What are you going to be when you grow up? And I spoke about wanting to be an art teacher. Mm-hmm. But in high school, I had to decide because they only give you so many electives between the visual arts and the musical arts.
Right.
So I chose the musical arts. And then in college, upon entering Notre Dame, I decided...
Where my father taught.
Really? Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, what did he teach?
He taught... He was in the School of Business Administration. He taught marketing, which you got a degree in it, did you not?
I sure did. Wow, that's so wild. That is exactly what I ended up studying. I got a Bachelor of Business Administration from the business school in marketing.
Which is so unusual for an artist to do.
Well, I have a father who majored in marketing as well, and he wanted me to have something practical. Uh-huh. And when I told him, I think my freshman or sophomore year, that I was enjoying my graphic design course as well as my music courses, yes, he said, no, you can't get rid of that marketing major. You have to have something practical to fall back on. So graphic design, the visual arts again fell by the, yes, wayside, and I stuck with music and business. And then studied abroad in Rome, where I fell in love with opera. And I had a great teacher at Notre Dame who had experience singing opera abroad and encouraged me to pursue graduate studies as well.
So was that part of your Notre Dame education when you went to Rome?
Yes.
Staying in Rome?
Yes, it was.
I was thinking what a great combination that was, though, because when you are in the performing arts, or the written arts or anything, you really do need a sense of business. And very few do. Creative people have that sense of business or marketing, right?
That's true. But it's very difficult to promote yourself.
I know.
It's difficult, and you may spend all this time working on your craft, and then you have to put on a different hat, the marketing hat. So it kind of reminds me of my life at Notre Dame. I felt like I was living two separate lives in the business school and then music.
Yeah. Did you like the business school? Did you like marketing and things like that?
I did. I thought it was a very great program, one of the top in the country, their business school. And I enjoyed the group work. A lot of it was, it just came very natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was common sense. I mean, there were the finance, yeah, classes. Those were very difficult,
yeah,
for me. But the marketing classes were just very easy for me, and I really enjoyed all the group work,
mm-hmm,
the group presentations and the projects that we would have to do.
Right, because marketing is a team work. My father used to say that you need to, I think he almost invented the word brainstorm.
Oh.
You know, this was long ago that he taught there, but he talked about brainstorming, and that's what you do with marketing, right?
You do,
yeah,
and you have to collaborate with project managers and the advertisers and,
yeah,
so many different people, all unifying the,
right,
grand idea.
Okay, so you went to Rome, and how long were you there?
I was there for one semester, about 4 months, and I studied there with an Italian tenor. Long story how I found him, but really it was incredible. He was 76 years old, and he taught me the Italian technique and the passion that is singing opera, mm-hmm, these grand stories.
What's the difference? Tell me about the Italian technique.
It was less heady, so less of the mathematic or the technical terminology that I was used to, well, in the business school, but also from my teacher who really sang a lot in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really all about the storytelling and having a clear, free voice that was able to move and be very clear. So it was actually a lot of demonstration in the, mm-hmm, teaching that he did.
Oh,
and
wait.
So he demonstrated, and then I followed.
Now we are going to have the first song from Angela. Now, tell us what that song is.
This is called The Prayer, and it was made famous by Andrea Bocelli, Celine Dion, Charlotte Church, Josh Groban. Those artists recorded it. And this is my solo rendition of The Prayer, so it has a little bit of that Italian that I polished in Rome.
Yeah, that was a perfect introduction to it, wasn't it? All right.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Angela. So beautiful.
Thank you.
What is your dream job? What would you, now that you've sung all over the United States and in Europe, where would you like to spend the rest of your career singing?
That's a great question. It's changed over time. I still have a dream to sing professionally in Europe, even if it's just one job. Just to say that I sang professionally in Europe. I trained there and I sang there, but I never was paid for it. I sang a competition and I was awarded money, but it's not the same as being hired by an opera house or a symphony. So I think that is still a dream of mine. And to sing sacred music, I've always wanted to sing sacred music, whether it's in a sacred setting, like a church on a Sunday basis, like a paid cantor position, or to sing sacred music in a secular setting, to evangelize that way. And that's what I did in Carnegie Hall. I felt like I could retire after that. I was like, it was such a dream come true.
Tell it, because that has to be your soloist in Carnegie Hall, right, which is the epitome, right? In America, certainly the epitome.
I would say it's definitely up there.
Yeah. What did you go through nerve-wise, practice-wise? What did you go through to get ready for that?
Well, because this is Ave Maria Radio, I can talk about it. In a very personal way, I was able to get the audition through the connection at Michigan Opera Theater, and Arthur White had a connection with the production company. I sang a sacred piece for the audition, as well as an opera aria. And while I was waiting for my audition and going up the stairs in Opera America, that area was dedicated to David DiChiara, who founded the Detroit Opera House and Michigan Opera Theater.
And you are on one of his albums, right?
That is correct. And I didn't know that that area had been dedicated to my mentor.
That's amazing.
He had since passed away, and it was so special to feel he was with me spiritually and see his picture there.
Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I definitely felt the hand of God in that. But I didn't hear back after 2 months. I still hadn't heard back after the audition. 2 months later, on a Marian feast, actually,
really?
The Lady of Lourdes, I got a call.
No kidding.
And they wanted me to pick what concert I wanted to do. And so I looked at the options, decided a sacred program on Father's Day. So preparing for it was nothing difficult. I had performed one of the pieces before with the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. And then the other piece I just learned and had a couple of rehearsals when I got to New York, but prepared most of it on my own here in Michigan. Worked with the conductors in New York the day before, and that afternoon of the performance, I got on stage for my rehearsal, and it was a dream come true, but I had this thought, am I a fraud? Do I belong here?
And I think we all go through that.
Yeah. If you've seen the movie Florence Foster Jenkins, it's about a New York socialite who was delusional that she had a good voice.
Right.
And so she ended up having a concert at Carnegie Hall in which people laughed at her. Yeah. And it was really traumatic.
There is no comparison.
But I thought for a second, am I a fraud? Do I belong here?
Yeah.
But then the performance started and I sat down. The choir behind me started to sing and I started to shake. It was very cold on stage, and I thought, how am I going to sing? My breath is so high, I need to have my breath low. And I thought, oh, is this a spiritual attack? I didn't know what it was. So if anybody in the audience knows about Unbound by Neil Lozano, I had gone through the Unbound program.
Right, I know. Yes.
And I started doing a prayer of deliverance on stage, just while the choir was singing behind me and praying to be delivered from fear and pride, vanity.
Yeah.
And right after I renounced both fear,
fear and vanity.
Vanity and pride. In particular, the peace came.
Isn't that interesting?
It was unbelievable, and just in the nick of time. Right after that, the peace came. I had to stand up and sing, and it was just as if looking out into that audience, seeing the red and the white of Carnegie Hall, I felt the blood and the water of Jesus, and the balconies kind of curved towards the stage, feeling his arms almost embracing me. I was singing Lamb of God. I was also singing the text of the Gloria. Yes. And it was an intensely spiritual experience to think about being in Jesus' heart and his embrace.
What a beautiful, beautiful experience. And no one in the audience would have had any sense of that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful story. Now, can we hear the second song that you're going to do so that people can have a little experience of what it was like to hear you in Carnegie Hall?
Yes. This is an opera aria, which some of you may recognize. It's O Mio Babbino Caro, O My Dearest Daddy, and it's from Giacomo Puccini's opera Gianni Schicchi.
just magnificent. You had an incredible experience that we were talking about Carnegie Hall, but will you continue about an even more unusual experience that happened while you were on stage in Carnegie Hall?
Yes, I was telling Peggy during the break that a friend of mine who was in the audience, a woman who says holy goosebumps, my friend Lori Peck, she was there and told me afterwards that she saw the Blessed Mother, a vision of the Blessed Mother, behind me, behind the choir, protecting us with her mantle of protection, her arms outstretched. And I wasn't surprised. The experience that I had on stage was with Jesus, and the Blessed Mother had that backstage role. I didn't even feel her presence,
but she was
there protecting me and leading me to her son. And that's exactly what Marian consecration is, when you consecrate yourself to Mary, which I had done 3 years before with Lori Peck.
Right,
helping
as have I. Right.
Yeah, with Michael Gately's program, Morning Glory, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And so when I came home from Carnegie Hall and I saw my consecration promise, I saw the words that I'm a instrument. I pray that I may be an instrument in your holy and immaculate hands to bring about the greatest possible glory to God. And that's what I was doing. I was an instrument, literally singing the words of the Gloria on Father's Day to God the Father. So Mary's always leading us to her son.
Well, and isn't it interesting that your favorite song and the song that you really have become identified with and famous for is your rendition of Ave Maria. As I'm alerting the listeners, stay with us because that is coming at the end of the show and it is absolutely beautiful. And you were so gracious to sing at our caroling party and you sang Ave Maria. I must tell you that everybody there was just deeply moved and loved it. While we're talking, though, it's so marvelous to have a voice like this, and we all wish we did. But few of us have any idea how much work and effort goes into protecting that voice and developing that voice. Can you tell us a little about that? What you go through even every day to protect that voice?
A lot of it has to do with hydration, sleep, common sense things, staying away from alcohol, and really practicing and staying on top of your craft. And now I'm teaching at Oakland University, and I have students of my own and trying to impart upon them, you know, what I learned along the way. And a lot of it is trial and error, you know, staying away from certain foods, resting your voice, try not to talk so much, and a lot of common sense things. Always warming up before I sing.
But now, how about every day do you have to practice with the voice, and just even when you're not giving a performance anywhere?
I try to practice on a daily basis, but I also need time off. So
to rest the
voice.
To
rest, yeah. So I try to sing 5 to 6 days a week and warm up my voice, but otherwise, on those off days, resting it. But it's hard these days to find a day off.
bet, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to, December 27th, I think I have a day off.
I'll bet. Everybody wants you to sing during Christmas. We are going to close with Ave Maria. So let's tell everybody where to learn more about Angela Theis, because you have a website.
I do. My last name is spelled Theis. So it's AngelaTheis.com. And I have upcoming performances listed on there as well.
Schedule, your news, media, all kinds of information. And you can get all of her wonderful background there, which as I said, we would have no room. If I gave it all on the show, we would have had no room for talking.
Thank you.
All right, tell us about what we are going to hear, and this will close the program.
This is Ave Maria. It's a version by Gounod, Charles Gounod. He wrote it based on a Bach piano prelude. So it's not the Schubert version that most people hear of at funerals and weddings, but it's my personal favorite. This is Ave Maria by Bach Gounod.